Yeah. Great job, Austin. Where is Austin right now? Oh, he's in the booth. Sorry. He's way back there. Great job, Austin. Hey, welcome, Rev students. I'm so excited that you guys are here tonight. If we haven't met before, my name is Caden Walker. I get the opportunity. Hi, Stella. Hi, Nakai. I get the opportunity to serve here on staff for Evolution as our Jasper Campus Student Director. So I get to hang out with you guys every week. And hey, I'm so excited that you guys are here tonight. If you didn't already know, tonight's going to look a little different. If you can't tell, I have a chair, and we're about to bring out a couple more chairs. Because tonight is week 7 of our IRL series, and we're going to be jumping into a roundtable discussion. And I'm super excited for this discussion, because this discussion is based off the questions that you guys have been submitting through this series. So if you submitted a question through the QR code that we've had up over the last couple of weeks, we pulled, I think we have 8 questions tonight from that QR code that we're going to be answering. And the awesome part is these are questions that you guys submitted. So this form was, it was a combo of questions from Canton and Jasper students. But tonight, the questions here are all questions from you guys. So I'm so excited that we're going to do that. And in a couple of minutes, just here in a moment, we're going to have some people come out. And these are guys and girls who are on our staff here. They're our pastors. They're people that you hear from on a regular basis. People that stand up on this stage and get to communicate in students on a weekly basis, or in adults as well on occasional too. So tonight is just a night where we get to dive into the wisdom. Hey, we talked last week about what it means to have a mentor, someone who can step into your life and work with you through relationships. And tonight is actually going to be a night where we're going to bring some people out here, one of them being a mentor of mine. So when they come out here, this is just great wisdom for you guys to hear as we're diving into some of the questions that you guys have submitted. But before they come out, though, I just want to pray over the night. I want to pray over this discussion, that God would just give us the words and the wisdom to say, and that for these questions that you guys have submitted. So let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for tonight. God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here. God, just get to sit in this auditorium together. God, I never want to take for granted just the opportunity that we have to be here. And God, that you've provided us this space, that you provided this room that we get to come into and get to worship you, get to sing songs about who you are, get to love you, and get to hear your word. Father, as we go into this panel, God, I just want to pray just for these students, for these leaders, and for the panelists beside me, God, that you would just open our hearts, open our minds just to hear from you tonight. God, I pray just for the panelists that are up here. God, as we prepared our answers for this, God, that we know that our words are going to fail, but God, through us, that you can speak. So Father, I just ask that these wouldn't be our words, but they would be your words through us. Father, we love you and we're grateful for you. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Well, we got some great people up here now. And if you can't tell, we also have some pieces of paper. So we do have some printed notes. I promise we're not just reading a script, but
I am.
Yeah, Jesse's just going to be.
But we also wrote the script.
Yeah, we did. But yeah, so we've got some notes that we're answering these questions that you guys submitted. So we want to make sure that we're answering them to the best ability that we can. So I've already introduced myself. I've already told you guys who I am. But everybody else, you guys want to introduce yourselves? Who are you? What do you do here?
Yeah, go, David.
Hi.
Spoiler.
Hi, my name is David. I get to serve as your campus pastor and your discipleship pastor.
Woo!
Yeah. I'm Aaron. Everybody say, hey, Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
I feel like we're friends now.
Hey, girl. Hey.
I work here in lots of different ways.
Yeah, she does.
Say something of what you do, Aaron. Come on.
I'm the assistant here. I'm the campus assistant here. So I get to work with all different ministries. Confession, student ministry is my favorite, my heart. So I love you.
If you can't tell by the shirt.
That's right. Represent.
Yes. I am Jesse Spradley, and I am our leadership development and missional development pastor for all of our campuses. Woohoo!
Yeah.
I just woohooed myself.
You did.
We gotta tell people how to love us. You know.
Yeah, like Aaron say, hey Aaron.
Hi Jesse. Here on three, everybody yell as loud as you can. Hey Jesse. 1, 2, 3. There you go. See, they love you.
It does help. It helps us feel more comfortable.
It does, yeah. Just breaks the ice. And hey, speaking of breaking the ice, so this first question that I'm going to ask these panelists, they actually don't know this question is going to get asked. So this is actually going to be a surprise to them. And this was my favorite question that was put on the form. So the first question is actually for you, Pastor Jesse. So here's the first one. How do you agree upon the proper air setting in the house when you're married?
I feel like I'm the only one who should answer this question.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to answer this because this is recorded in the best way that I can. When it comes to air setting in our house, it's whatever my wife and daughter wants it on.
That's right. Round of applause. That's the truest thing.
He only said it that in case Liz goes back and listens.
No, that is the 100% truth.
Awesome. Well, hey, I just wanted to break the ice a little bit before we actually dive into some of these questions. So this first question, David, I'm going to throw it to you first. So again, these are questions that you guys submitted. So question one for you, David. How do you keep your relationship healthy, or your relationship from interfering with your relationship with God?
That's a great question. And as unaccustomed to public speaking as I am, I think all of these questions are so good, but they're all founded in Scripture. The answers are all founded in Scripture. So the question of how do you keep your relationship from interfering with your relationship with God, let's look at Colossians chapter 1, where it talks about Jesus being preeminent. Now, maybe you know what that word means, but the word preeminent means above everything else. So how many things can be preeminent? One, exactly. Very good. So if you look at your relationship with God as being preeminent over everything else, I don't mean priority over everything else, because our priorities change. And your priorities may change daily, weekly. Sometimes my priorities change minute by minute. But Jesus is preeminent, which means that he has to be the center of every part of our lives. So if you look at a relationship as a friend, Jesus has to be preeminent. If you look at relationships of a spouse, Jesus has to be preeminent. If you look at the relationship in a dating relationship, Jesus has to be preeminent, but the center of everything. This factors into time, money, resources, all of these things. If we look at God as preeminent, Jesus is preeminent, then we can have a right perspective on how we look at our other relationships. So if Jesus is here and your relationship with somebody is up here, then it's not prioritized in the right way. Jesus is not at the center. So if your relationship with Jesus is here and every other relationship is informed by your relationship with Jesus, that's how you keep your relationship from interfering with your relationship with God.
That's good. I love what you said about just relationships just in general. Hey, I feel like so often when we think of relationships as just my dating relationship or my spouse.
No.
But a relationship is anyone. Yeah. It's my friends. It's my parents. It's my dog.
Yeah.
Whatever relationship those are. Yeah.
Well, good. My relationship with my dog is a little different.
Yes, we know.
I was going to bring him.
You should have brought
His
Pretzel.
His name's Pretzel. He's a chihuahua. He's 6 pounds.
So cute.
He is so cute, and I'll speak for Dave too right here. He doesn't have any teeth.
The dog, not me. I'll get there someday.
No, David put his back in. man, just kidding. But no, he doesn't have any teeth, so when he walks around like this, like his tongue, it is so cute.
It is cute.
But he will bite your fingers off.
He will.
He'll try.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think with that too, you know, like he said, seeking it first, and just rarely does a relationship interfere. It's you're not putting that first. Like, it slowly takes priority.
Right.
And so, like, be cognizant of watching of what is slowly what you're putting first. In Matthew 6:32, says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And so, are you putting Him first and seeking Him first above all else? And slowly in time in relationships, even in marriage, sometimes we could put our spouse before that relationship with Christ, and like spending time with Him and doing that. And so making sure that He is number one above everything else.
Well
That's
paid.
Great.
I think like as you guys are both talking about that, I keep thinking about like vigilance. When you're saying how do you keep your relationship from interfering with your relationship with God, vigilance, right? When you're talking about making sure that something's preeminent,
yeah,
we have to be vigilant in all things, our relationships included. And so I think, do either of you guys have like a practical example of like a relationship that honors God versus maybe a friendship or relationship you've had that did not?
Sure. I can think of dating relationships that became idols. And anything that supersedes God's preeminence is an idol. So money can be an idol. Your hobbies can be an idol. Your friendships can be an idol. Your relationships, especially in dating, can become an idol where that takes precedence over your relationship with God. And that has happened. But the longer we follow Jesus, the more aware of our idolatry we become. The longer we follow Jesus, the more aware of our sin we should become. We would sin less the longer we're with Jesus, and the more aware of our sin we become.
Yeah, that's good. And I think that flows really well into the next question too. You talked about how, hey, with these relationships, what if I'm putting God first, that we should be pursuing him first in the end. Like that's, we're pursuing in every relationship that we have, that he's the center of that.
Yeah.
But do you ever think there's times, and this leads great into the next question. The next question is, why does God test us in relationships? Do you ever think there's times where, hey, sometimes we're in a relationship that maybe we don't put him in the center of it, and maybe he actually is, and there's a hidden meaning behind it?
Well, I think it's a great question, and I think it's important to back up and look at the ultimate relationship. The ultimate relationship is Jesus and his relationship to the church. The church is called Jesus's bride. Okay, so the marriage relationship, and if dating ever becomes part of somebody's life, it should be, are we dating for the purpose of marriage? Well, marriage is not for our happiness. Sorry, it's not. Marriage is for our holiness. So marriage is meant to be part of our sanctification. So it's not necessarily God testing us in relationships. It's God using relationships to refine us.
Yeah. That's good.
Ba-bam.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And when it comes to, the testing, and I don't know what the intent behind this question was in that, the testing aspect of that. But I always think so many times we put ourselves into situations in relationships, and we are, let's just say it, we go to places with people that we shouldn't. We are alone with a girlfriend or boyfriend that we shouldn't, and we do things that we shouldn't. And like, oh, why did God tempt me or test me? No, we were stupid and put ourselves into a situation that we shouldn't have put ourselves in. And then we're like, oh, why did God not protect me? He wasn't tempting you. You did it to yourself. He's not going to miraculously come. He can, but he's not going to miraculously just come down and be like, boom, separation. Doesn't happen.
Yeah. So.
Well, I think also, we have to remember that it's we're surrounded by spiritual warfare all the time. So as much, God needs to own the desires of our hearts, but we have an enemy that's seeking to twist and corrupt that. So a lot of times that can come through a relationship, especially if you are in a place where maybe you haven't been as vigilant, or maybe you just didn't even know yet that you needed to be vigilant, that there are rhythms or habits, or maybe it is becoming an idol to you in some way, and the enemy knows that. And he is going to seek to manipulate you through that. Will you choose Jesus now is kind of the question he's always asking. And so I think that we have to remember that we are being tested sometimes. God allows those things for our refinement. And he is omnipotent, omniscient, outside of time. There's never a trial that we go through that he didn't know was coming, and that he doesn't have a purpose for our betterment in our lives. But there is a lot of spiritual warfare that's going on with that, especially for you guys at your age where you're just trying to figure out who you are and how you want to show up in the world and what does your faith mean for you? How are you going to follow Jesus and how is God going to use you? You guys are very vulnerable right now to the voice of the enemy as well. So I think remembering that those difficult things, those scary things are for our refinement, that he's not sitting up there testing us for his personal enjoyment or something. Everything is for our good.
Excellent.
Yeah, and it all goes back to that refining, and the theological word that we can put with that is sanctification, mm-hmm. right? We've talked about that in multiple times. We've talked about this process of sanctification, that, hey, sometimes we do go through things that maybe it is something that we've put ourselves into. Maybe it is that situation that, hey, this isn't God doing it, but we did it to ourselves. But then it's God can still work through those moments. And that's that process of sanctification, of becoming closer to Jesus, even in times that may hurt. And I love that. And I feel like there are some times too where there's moments where we're in relationships where, man, that other person, they don't look at Jesus the way that we do. And I think that flows great into this next question, especially with the people that we're so close to. It goes back to relationships that, hey, relationships aren't just dating, but they're also our family. So this next question is great. David, I'll throw this one to you as well. How do I have a relationship with family members that have turned away from Christ, believe awful stuff, and have done awful stuff? This person says they're really convicted about all of it.
That is also a great question. So whenever I say, hey, that's a great question, I mean it. I don't know if you know this, but we're all sinners.
Yeah. Whoa, mic drop.
Some of my best friends are sinners. I have in my...
All of your best friends are sinners.
All of them.
All of us are sinners.
The family that I came out of, I'm the only believer. My dad trusted in Jesus on his deathbed. Praise the Lord. I have a cousin who is a believer. But one of the things that we have to understand is that as believers, there was once a time we were lost. So it's the understanding and acceptance that person is where they are. So what does Scripture say for us to do? Well, love them. We are to love our neighbor. Now, how do we do that when they are making poor choices? How do we do that when they're crossing boundaries? It's important to have boundaries, and I've had to make boundaries with family members and with friends, but it's also important that everybody in your life knows what you believe, knows what you stand for, because if you don't stand for something, you don't stand for anything. And just because you stand for something that they don't agree with doesn't mean that you don't love them, doesn't mean you don't care for them, doesn't mean you don't walk alongside them, doesn't mean you don't pray for them. But we can't just go along with everyone based upon their actions. You are the thermostat in the room, not the thermometer, which means you get to dial the temperature. You don't have to be the temperature of the room. When you walk in a room, you get to have an effect on the environment of the room, not the room having an effect on the environment of you.
That's great.
Yeah, and I just add just a little bit on that, because it's so hard to do. And just looking at this question, I read the part, turned away from Christ, believe awful stuff, and have done awful stuff. So many times when I hear this question, and I've heard it many times, it comes from a place of having been hurt by someone you love, like your parents or something like that. And I just want to say again in here that if that is something that's happened, and if there's physical harm or hurt that has happened to you or someone you know, then that does need to be reported. You do need to talk about that with someone. That's not something that you just turn a blind eye to and be like, well, they don't know Jesus, or... sorry, I still got to love them. No, you love them by reporting and telling what that is.
Yeah, I didn't mean that you have to love somebody that has harmed you.
Yeah, and he didn't.
I didn't go that far into the question.
Yet. Absolutely, and I just wanted to take it there, and he wasn't meaning that in any way at all. So I just felt like I needed to say that in case I don't know what the heart of this question is or what that looks like. But I just want to make sure that that's clear in here, too.
Yeah, if somebody has harmed you, we are deeply sorry. I've said that in a sermon here on a Wednesday night. Deeply sorry. We have counseling for you. We have people that we can recommend to talk to. Talk to your small group leader. We are here for you in that. So don't hear the answer to the question, we are called to love our neighbor, as anything other than that's what Scripture does call us to, but we have to have boundaries.
Yeah, and a healthy understanding of what love is. Like when you say love, you're talking about a biblical love, right? Like a Christ-like love. And I have to thank my therapist for this, but she once said to me, love is the highest good for the other person. Mm-hmm. If someone is hurting you, they're hurting themselves. The highest good for them might be distance or space. That's the best way you can love yourself, a boundary. Consequences. They need to face consequences for that so that they will make a better choice. So I think that kind of love is important to understand. It's not always grace and forgiveness. Those things are important. It's not always accommodation. Sometimes it's accountability and truth and consequences. Sometimes that is the highest good for someone.
Yeah, I mean, we even see that just the way that Jesus loved people too. We see all through scripture that Jesus still hung out with the tax collectors. He hung out with the sinners. He hung out with the prostitutes. We see all these different cases of Jesus hanging out with other people. But then when you look at his closest 12, those are the people that he spent most of his time with. Where are the 12? So even in our lives, hey, you guys go to school. You're surrounded by people who probably don't believe in Jesus. But where do we look for in our close? Where do we look at in our inner circle? Those are the people. I mean, it was Pastor Chad a couple of weeks ago when he was talking about our same gender friends, that those are the people that are going to shape us, are those people that we put so close to us. So setting up those boundaries, that real relationships require real boundaries.
They do.
And we talked about that last week too.
They do. It leans toward, you know, one of my favorite proverbs. When I first trusted in Jesus, I was not a believer when I was your age. I was not a believer until I was 45. And I had to look at scripture and ask other people who are wiser than me, who had walked with Jesus longer than me, hey, how do I do this in friendships? And they pointed me to a proverb, a companion of a fool will suffer harm. Well, how do I not be foolish? I got to stop hanging out with fools. How do I be wise? I got to hang out with some wise people. So it's not rocket science, but it is scripture-based.
And I know we can talk about this for all night, but I just want to point out, if you do need help with those boundaries, because it's difficult at your age, because not all the time you're having abuse or something, but you still need to set up boundaries with siblings or parents or cousins or aunts or uncles like that, please come talk to someone, your small group leader. I'll say, in all my years of ministry, the one person that I've seen that has set up boundaries in such a healthy way, but also speaks love and Jesus to these people is Pastor David. The way that he has talked to his family about who Jesus is, but respectfully putting up boundaries of what he will and won't talk about and things like that. So if you need to talk to him, because he is phenomenal at it, but talk to Caden, one of these leaders here, to help with set up those boundaries and talk through those together, because we're not made to figure it out on our own. So don't figure it out on your own.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think having those boundaries is what sets up those healthy relationships. So Aaron, how do we know if a relationship is healthy?
Let me turn the page and tell you.
He skipped a question.
Okay, that's okay.
Just making it flow.
So I think there are some, the question is, how do you know if your relationship is healthy? I mean, you need to know God's word, right? There's a reason that there's an armor of God that he asks us to put on. It's so that we can have discernment and we can be vigilant in our daily lives. So are you studying God's word? Are you preparing yourself to make the decision that comes after this question? Because the question, how do I know if my relationship is healthy, might be followed with it's not, right? And so are you in a place where you're prepared to make that decision? But some just practical but also biblical things that I think you can use to evaluate your relationships in kind of making those decisions is to ask yourself, do the people you're in relationship with make it easier or harder for you to follow Jesus?
That's excellent.
You can do that about anything in your life that you have control over. Is it making it easier or harder for you to follow Jesus? Now, that doesn't mean you won't be suffering. We suffer when we follow Jesus all the time, but he is near, and we feel near to him in those moments. You know what I mean? So if you're going through something difficult, you can still draw near to God. Scripture tells us that iron sharpens iron. So when you're with these people, are they sharpening you? Are they pointing you to Jesus? Are they calling things out in you that are sinful or nasty or harmful? Because that's for your good, you know? In all things, we want to bring glory to God and build lives that honor him. So is that relationship honoring Jesus? When you guys are out, what are you talking about? Are you gossiping? Are you complaining all the time? Do you find yourself in a bad mood or a angsty mood after you're with someone? That's a good sign that this person is not pointing you to Jesus. And you have to remember, we are the light of the world. So we're lighting the spaces around us with whatever we're choosing. If you're gossiping with somebody at a restaurant and somebody else overhears that, do they see Jesus in that?
Good point.
No, they don't see Jesus in that. And y'all were made for more. You were made for more than gossip. And
you were made for more.
Get Cole out here. We need to sing that.
Yes. Yeah. I think another couple things. Scripture gives us a description of perfect love. It's in Corinthians. I'm not going to read the whole scripture because you guys all have Bibles. But it does define what perfect love looks like, what we should see. If you're wondering, is this a healthy love that exists in this relationship? You can look up those scriptures and say, do I see kindness? Do I see patience here? Is this person somebody who influences me to be kinder and more patient? To be more forgiving, to have a sound mind and self-control and have discipline. And then the last thing is scripture also gives us a definition of what should occupy our minds. And I think that's the main thing we do with our friends and in our relationships is share our thoughts with them, right? Work out how we feel about things with somebody else, get their opinion and their feedback. And that in turn helps to shape how we see the world and the choices that we're going to make. So the scripture also tells us what we should be thinking about, not just earthly things, but eternal things. Also Philippians 4:8, if anybody happens to be writing anything down, tells us what we should be dwelling on. And I think that when you're evaluating those relationships, if your spidey senses are telling you, I think something's weird about this relationship and you're wanting to evaluate it, scripture is good for that. And it is there for you to find.
Excellent. That was my high school motto. Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, think on those things. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, Aaron, it all goes back to David's first thing that he talked about was, hey, is my relationship pointing me closer or pulling me away from Jesus? I mean, that's in the end, that's every relationship that we had. Sorry, Jesse, you're about to start talking. I saw you move your mic.
I
totally cut you off.
I was going to say spidey senses. Like I love. Heron says that all the time, and she really means the Holy Spirit when she says
I do mean that.
But she says it all the time, and I love it when she does it because she always does this every time she does it, and it's awesome.
The Holy Spirit, Tobey Maguire.
It's getting weird up here.
Hot take. He's my least favorite superhero. We can talk about that later.
But also,
wow, okay.
But also, how do you know, like, the healthy relationship, like, are you, for me too, is like, are you looking to get something out of the relationship? Like, what are you in the relationship for? So often we get into a relationship, as we talked about at the very beginning, to find joy, to find happiness, all those stuff to find. Are you looking to find validation in that relationship? Are they giving you a sense of, like, I'm a good person, or I'm awesome, or all of those things? Are you looking for that in a relationship? If so, probably not a healthy relationship if that's the person you're going to get all of that out of, because in John 15 it says that our joy is in him, that our joy can be complete in him. So are you finding your joy in him, or are you finding your joy and validation in that relationship?
Yeah,
that's good.
And a godly relationship, you will, that doesn't mean like relationships are never joyful, that our earthly relationships are never joyful, but a godly relationship is almost always joyful.
Yeah. And so many times, and I've made this mistake so many times because in counseling and a lot of mentors have helped me, but I did not grow up with a great home life and did not get a lot of validation of, like, that I was good or that I was doing something right from my parents. So I sought that in my relationships. I sought that in my girlfriends. I sought that in my friends. And so many times we are insecure and we don't have that confidence. We don't have that of who we are, who God has made us to be, and who he is in and through us, that we look to other people to get that. And so often we get into a relationship. I need a boyfriend or a girlfriend so that I can feel this or so that I can be this. If I have a girlfriend, then I'm going to have this status at school, or I'm going to do this, instead of trusting the joy that he has given us and who he has made us to be. We seek that in other people. And if we're seeking that, we do not need to be in a relationship at all.
Yeah.
Sorry, I went off on a
No, I mean, that actually kind of brings us to a backtrack, too, of the question that you pointed out. Oh, I skipped. I mean, the next question that was going to be right before that kind of makes a perfect segue is, hey, should I get a girlfriend at 14? Feels like it would make me happier. And you kind of answered that. Hey, where is that joy coming from?
No.
No.
Mic drop.
No?
Yeah. But no, I mean, you answered that. Like, where is that joy coming from? Like, I mean, in John, it tells us, hey, our joy comes from Jesus. Am I looking for that joy or that validation in that person? Or am I looking for it in him? Because it all goes back to my first love is him first.
And why do we date? Like, why do we get into a relationship? What is the purpose of it? To get married. Are you getting married at 14? No, it's not biblical times. No.
No, if you don't have a job, as Pastor Chad said a couple of weeks ago, if you don't have a job, if you can't support a spouse, you should not be in a relationship that is going to lead toward that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. That's it right there. Yeah. Well,
I don't mean a part-time job at Chick-fil-A. That's great. That's great that you're working. You have a great work ethic. But that's not going to support a marriage.
Yeah. And even outside of a dating relationship, there are times where we have to let relationships go. So the next question is, how do I know if it's time to let a friendship go? Aaron, do you want to speak into that? Like, is that something that you've ever been through?
What number question is that?
I mean, 23. Honestly, you can just say what you said for the last question because it's the same answer.
Yeah.
I mean, straight up same answer.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It really is the same answer. I tend to go a little bit practical. I feel like you guys want practical examples. Like, you know a lot, not all, you know, nobody knows everything, but you know a lot of the
Lord does.
The answers, right? The answers that we're going to give, that we're going to, you know, always tell you that Jesus should be first and that you should be choosing him and that you should be careful about idols. But just practical advice for that is have you prayed about it? Like, have you prayed about it? Because a lot of these choices are going to be personal conviction, right? Because our relationships can have all different kinds of levels. There are times when you need to completely end a relationship. But there might be times when you need to change its role in your life, right? You might need to redefine. For instance, I can be a friend to anyone, but not everyone gets to be my friend. Does that make sense? Not everybody gets to be a friend to me.
That's good.
Because there are things that I require for the people that I'm going to let speak into my life and into my heart to influence.
Say that again. Say it again.
Which part?
All of it.
Okay.
The whole thing.
I can be a friend to anyone, but not everybody gets to be a friend to me.
Preach. Mm.
Say it again.
Yes. But that goes back to boundaries, right? If you're feeling that you are called to minister to someone, to change the dynamic of a relationship, I'm telling you now, you cannot do that without the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So if you're not praying about it, then no. You know what I mean? There's so many times when I want something and I kind of set up a qualifier for myself where I say, if I want to do this, then I have to require this of myself. So sometimes if I want, let's say, I'm honestly going to go just with a very silly example, but it works. So who gets mad about the things they see online and wants to like give them a piece of their mind? Okay. So I feel like that all the time. And I started to set up a rule for myself. Nobody cares what I know until they know that I care. And so if I want to be the one, if I think that God wants me to be the one to speak that truth into their life, am I willing to do the work to prove that I care? Mm. Right? And so if I'm not, then I'm not the one. And I think that sometimes we cling to relationships that we know are bad for us because we think that we can make a difference in their life, as people would say, date them to Jesus or be their friend to Jesus. That is the Holy Spirit's job. And where we can offer truth, only the Holy Spirit can make that take root. So when you're asking yourself that question of, do I need to let this friendship go? Do I need to change the dynamic of that? Are you actively praying and seeking the Holy Spirit in that? If you're not, let it go. You're not ready, okay? Have you sought wise counsel from a trusted person in your life? You have
small group leaders here, you might have family members that you trust, the people that you're letting you speak into you, have you sought wise counsel? That's biblical. We are told to do that. And then just asking that same question, is it leading you closer to or away from Jesus? Are you honoring God? Are you and that person bringing more glory to God together than you would apart? If not, then you do need to evaluate that relationship and pray about it.
Yeah, if your parent or your teacher or your mentor says, hey, that crowd you're hanging out with, that's not a good crowd, receive that. Mm-hmm. And then go to God with it and say, wow, what does that mean? I don't feel better when I leave that crowd. I don't get to leave a good deposit when I'm in that room with those people. They actually steal from me. They take from me. I feel terrible when I'm with them. Hey, that's a sign from the Holy Spirit that, hey, that relationship probably needs to end.
A big one for you guys is, does this person make me feel ashamed of my faith?
Mm.
That I feel for your age demographic. If you feel like you need to hide Jesus, that relationship is not for you.
Amen. And I wanted to speak to the leaders and the married people in here for just a second because we're in here. If your spouse, if you have friends or you have and your spouse says that you are different when you come home away from them, or they don't see that as a good relationship, then you need to seriously evaluate those relationships as well. Because there's been times in my marriage and my relationship that I've had some guy friends that my wife is like, you don't come home the same with those guys. They're not bad people, but like, they weren't pointing me to Jesus in those relationships. And so if my spouse wanted me to not hang out with them, then I need to have that conversation and that talk and honor them in that as well.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. And that could be for anything. I remember there was a season where I was listening to angry sports talk radio. And is there anything intrinsically wrong with listening to sports talk radio? No. But it was making me a little edgy in my other relationships. And my spouse pointed out, hey, have you been listening to a lot of sports talk? Guys yelling at each other about sports? Well, yes, I have. Well, when I stopped doing that, when I recognized, okay, that's having an effect on my life, because I was being the thermometer, not the thermostat.
Yep,
that's good.
So,
yeah,
it's important.
Yeah. Well, hey, I want to get you guys a small group to have enough time to discuss. So, I would just love to leave this last question, David. You've already talked a good bit about it, but I would love to hear you guys or y'all's perspective on it too. This was actually the question that was asked the most in the panel, or in the form that was submitted in a couple different ways. But I would love just to reiterate this question one more time and just leave it at that. So the last question is, when do you know when you're ready for marriage, or as the term we've been using, when marriage is on the horizon? So Jesse, you're married. Like, when did you know that you were ready for that?
Yeah, I like what David said it really well earlier too. And I was told this when I was early on in my early 20s, before I was married, and a mentor said this, is like, you run to God. You run to God, you pursue God with everything you are, and then you look to see who's doing it with you. So there's one way to see, one, who you should marry, but two, are you pursuing God? Are you running to God? And then two, after that, Proverbs 24:27 says, prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. Just like Pastor Chad said, do you have a job? Can you support yourself? Can you support a spouse? Can you do the things that it takes in marriage to provide for them? Are you emotionally stable? Are you spiritually ready to do all those things and to be in that relationship, to pour into that relationship and not take from that relationship?
One of the things that has been so helpful for me, because I am in a season of singleness now, it was Meredith, who is our kids minister in Canton. Her husband was just playing the drums. Her son is here. I think her daughter is here. She said to me, steward your singleness well. So we call membership at Revolution Church stewardship, because members have rights, but stewards have responsibilities. It's not going to be my car forever. Somebody else is going to own that car. It's not going to be my house forever. Somebody else is going to live in that house. I'm stewarding my car, I'm stewarding my house, and I'm stewarding my singleness well, protecting it and guarding it and being wise about it. Steward your purity. Are you in a relationship with somebody right now? And if that relationship ends, you could go to that person's wedding and tell their husband or their wife, hey, I protected their purity for you. Steward your bodies, steward your resources, steward your heart, and do that well starting now, and you will never regret that.
And if you can't do that when you're single, and you're not prepared to do that when you're single, and if you're not finding the joy in Christ when you're single, then that's not going to change when you get married. The things that you struggle with, the things that you go through right now, are just going to be 10 times when you get married, and they're going to be made known and visible, and they're going to cause other issues in the relationship because you're going to try and hide some of those things, that your insecurities, your lack of confidence, the secrets that you have in your life. You're going to hide those, and those are going to cause all kinds of problems in your marriage if you're not ready and have dealt with those things before you go into the relationship.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, it all leads to this point that you had talked about a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about it in the message last week, but are you becoming the person that the person you're looking for is looking for? And hey, it's right now you guys are in that season of formation. You are in that season where you get to become that person that the person you're looking for is looking for. I'm in that season right now. And getting to walk alongside of that. Yeah, there are times where it does get frustrating. Like, God, man, I just want to be married. I want to have a family. But he's still preparing me. He's still preparing you. There are things that I still have to learn in life before God provides me that. And there are still a lot of things that you guys have to learn still through that season. So that's what this time in small group is going to be for. Is, hey, talk about these. Actually, in small groups, when you guys get there, the small group questions tonight are literally just the questions we talked about. So you guys just get to further deepen and talk about this. But before you guys go to small group, I just want to pray for us. I want to pray over this time and pray for the discussion over small groups.